I probably find
it. That will be great, because people are interacting directly with those people. And
sure.
And we'll make a few extras, and, you know, for the novice.
But that would entice them, saying that their name's going to be on it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and I agree. And I think that, I was just wondering, if you have a dollar amount you need, so you may want to set a dollar amount for people to get their name on the shirt.
That's a good idea, too.
There's $1,000 that wasn't used by the library.
No, I wasn't going to talk about that.
Oh, you weren't going to talk about
that. No,
I was going to keep that quiet. That was quiet until we found out about it.
Yeah,
okay.
Sorry about that.
No, now that you brought it up,
erase
what I was talking about. Actually, the foundation that we had before had $1,000 left, and the chamber has it. They're keeping it, and what it originally was for the bulletin board out there. For the library. So after the bulletin board was up, I said to somebody, did the library get money, $1,000? And they said, no, the library's never asked for the money. And so as far as I know, the money is still sitting in the chamber bank account, but that's what I said. It just dawned on me tonight that money is there, and maybe we could use it, maybe we can't. I don't know. I need to find out. I guess I'll talk to Supervisor Joy about it and see if that could be used. If it could be used, then we're fine, you know, for this year. But as I say, maybe the library will come up and ask us for it, and then we won't have it. So maybe that needs to be clarified as to whether they're going to ask for it, or whether they still want it or don't want it or whatever, and whether it's still available or not available.
So before we lose that thought, what dollar amount should be set? I think that's a really good idea.
Yeah.
A minimum donation will then
so
get
what?
Your name on a t-shirt.
$200.
Well, $200? We want to make it that high.
Why don't we? I suggest that we have 265, and they're listed as dumpster sponsors.
$100.
Additional sponsors at $125.
So we're saying $125 will get your name on a t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
$125 will get your name on a t-shirt. And t-shirt and $265, one dumpster will get your business name, address, what?
Logo. But they'd be, you know, more prominent. I think you can set two levels and you guys can decide how it looks, but a more prominent, you know,
you
have two levels.
You ought to have sponsors and then have for like $200. And then below, if Wendy wanted to put
contributors
$75, we'll call them dumpster divers. Seriously, you know? Put them in the car. Let's make it fun.
And how come you're a dumpster diver for $200?
Well, no, for 75 or whatever.
Well, don't you think that there may be some small businesses that could donate like $50? You know, that
I think we need to say any donation is appreciated.
All right.
Any. And but if you donate, say,
you have a certain amount. I'll just throw something out. When we do our basketball team, we print 15 shirts per team. We put the name of the sponsor on it. All the kids get to wear those shirts, but the sponsor gets a shirt off. And that costs you $200. And we did 16 games last year. So I tell you, this town will do it for you.
I
we'll make extra ones, and the sponsor will get one too. Yeah.
That's a good idea.
idea. I've done things like this before. And if you have sponsors that give less money, you can have a call. You know, like here's bronze.
Right.
Or gold, or gold, yeah. Something like that. You know, someone that gives a lot, you know, you can put it, make it more dominant.
That's great.
If you tell me how much I can lay something, whatever, how much whoever gives, I can lay something out for you guys. And, you know, up to a week or so before the event.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. I
really appreciate
that. It's easy for us to do, and, you know, we can help.
Thank you. Yeah, isn't that great?
That sounds like we might be able to. And I really think that lifting up is important. I really think that's the top line. I think people want it. So. Okay, we're going to move on to Joel, Tom.
Yeah, I got the application. Remember to bring it this time and fill it out.
You want to give it to Hope, and she'll give you the $40,
yeah,
or what?
She can write a check for it.
She'll give you the check, and you can take the check in.
Either way.
Because we did approve that, was it last time at the time before? We did approve the $40. And so you need to get that in right away.
Yeah.
And I think, what about our space? Do we have a space that's not yet or anything?
Not until you turn in an application. You have an idea.
You come first.
First, okay.
Are you aware of that where you could, you know, they have a booth or something if you want?
Yeah.
If you need a form, we can get you one. Yeah.
Okay. Anything else?
Tom? You graciously donated a shade tent.
Yes, and I'm going to donate 4 milk cartons.
Filled with water?
1 gallon. No, we'll have to fill them there. But I think a 1 gallon bottle will
do
it, right?
Yeah, should do it.
Okay, well, I'll save my gallon milk things. I think they're gallons. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're gallons. Half gallon. So we have our canopy. Now then we need a table.
We need a table or 2 tables.
You know, I wonder where Ruth got the table last year.
Uh-huh. I didn't make the straw last year. So.
No, I need to ask him and then see where we can get the table because we'll need a table. And we need the flyers, and you're willing to donate those, right?
Sure, just put together. Go.
Okay, I'll.
And
love parents a little more.
You're our assistant, so I'll take them out there, you know.
Okay, now we're going to need people to man the table, too.
Yes.
And that's going to be MAC members, and we're going to have people that are verbal, willing to get out there, and willing to. Hi, where's the MAC? Yay! Another thing that I think we need is some kind of a sign that says El Sobrante Municipal Advisory Council, or El Sobrante Municipal. And because people as they're walking by, they're seeing 100 of those, and if you don't have something out there with your name on it, they're not going to remember it. And they won't even stop. Last year, we were back in the back part, and I was out there reaching out to people. Oh, look over here, this back table over here. And so, you know, we need to have something.
How big is the shape and all the length of the table?
How much is what?
How long is your shade tent? 10 by 10, probably.
No, it's bigger than that, I think.
Bigger than 10 by 10?
13 by 12.
Well, you're limited to 12 by 12.
What length of table do you have?
No, 40.
Does it tell us the size of the booth?
Like an 8 foot. I was thinking about this. Maybe you have a flyer,
a banner.
A banner, maybe. 2 by 10 or 2 by 8.
No, I think that should be made up to the chamber. Shouldn't it have to check it out?
No, 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 that's right. No, you can use a woman.
It's up to you. She can make it up to you.
You know, I mean, you make it out to the chamber. At least we did on Friends of Gary Free.
Yeah, it's the Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah.
Presented.
Yeah. I'm going to cross the name of Tom Owens down at the Chamber of Commerce.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've been promoted.
Okay, again, any way that we can get a canvas or some kind of a sign, something that we should have always, anyhow, we should have that.
They're pretty expensive.
$100
to
get it made.
Well, maybe
we'll get it made.
Wendy, Tom, and I are on the outreach
committee. Yeah. Talk to Daryl at Tom Printing. It is Daryl's brand.
Well, you know, I was wondering if I got a canvas, would somebody print it, do you think? If I just went and bought it,
he makes, he gets those letters that are really nice. I just ordered two of them today.
Who did you send?
Not Prince. Down by McBride and San Pablo Avenue, right by the Alvarado Gardens there. Right there.
Can you spell his last name for me?
R-O-D-Y, Rogie, sure. Darryl Rogie.
Okay, well, he needs some kind of something to put it on.
No,
so we can
well,
do that. Because I know we
can. I had asked him to put drummers on.
Oh, yeah.
Although they come with
it. Because they, yeah.
With it.
We'll price it and I'll bring it back before the committee. Hopefully in time for you.
I'll have to order it before the next meeting.
Yeah.
Email
it, right? Well, we can't approve the money by email.
So you need to approve money now?
But you don't know how much.
Could we set a maximum amount and
it's about $100. I think mine was $100. What it charges me.
For what? For
the big banner. Two by.
Is this a cloth banner?
No, it's
canvas.
Like a canvas type of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. You see them hanging up there on my
side. Yeah, $100 each or
$100 each.
Well, do we want to approve that or what?
We have a motion we've never voted on. Which one is that? Tom Mason movie sent out solicitation letter for the dumpsters. We never even voted on that.
That's what?
The solicitation number for the dumpsters?
Your letter.
We never voted on it. Just kind of moved into
letter?
Something else.
I thought we voted on that.
I don't have any record of it.
Okay, well, I don't have any
record
of
it. I think everybody voted for it.
I thought so, too.
Okay, do we want to...
I move that the MAC approve up to $150 expenditure for canvas banner, permanent banner, in time for the strolls.
Okay. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Do we have any discussion on it? We ready to vote? Okay, all
right. What it
says, yeah.
We need to decide what it will say.
Well, if we want the town part on it, yeah. Then we need to check the town.
Well, how about we just put in brackets underneath your town and council?
Yeah, because the bylaws don't call it town council, so you're going to have to change it.
Yeah, you got to need it.
You can't take anything. We'll call it Elton Bronte Municipal Advisory Committee in brackets underneath
council.
Your town council.
Council.
What did I say, committee?
Yes, you did. Okay.
I'm trying to break myself of that.
What we're voting on now is $100. So
$150.
Top two.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. So we've authorized up to $150. Now then, we need to talk about the wording. So we want to put Elton Bronte Municipal Advisory Council and then down below your town council.
Be careful because there may be legalities in regard to the town.
Yeah, I know.
Elton Bronte Municipal Advisory Council.
That's a legal name.
And then the legal expenses come across the county. Just like you
have
said. Oh, I was just going to say, I was going to move that we have it saved. Especially what Tom said, Elton Bronte Municipal Advisory Council in large letters, and then in italics underneath, smaller, your, and then in quotations, town, council.
Well,
and then Ruby checks on the town part.
How about your local council?
Okay, we ready to move off the stroll? I'm going to talk to about Boys and Girls Club. You told me a lot of nice things about the Boys and Girls Club, about your future plans.
Well, we put up new gates.
I saw them.
We've been getting garbage dumped again in the back.
Oh.
Put gates up. We have offered the property behind us to the county for a park. We did that a year ago, and I've heard nothing back from us. We're also talking about building a new Boys and Girls Club. That's my vision, as everybody says, would be my vision to do that. But it would be back in the corner where the trucks are now. It'll go there and go across the creek, and then the gym will be on the other side. And we are also, we've found out today, we're getting 20 laptop computers for a computer lab for the community to use. The community will be allowed to come in and look for job prospects and this and that and the other. And we're going to partner with Salvation Army. So people, they have those people set in their rooms all day and do nothing. They're going to come over and use our computers. We're going to that.
As a member of the R9, so if you don't know, the our El Segundo Parkson Overstate Advisory Committee, and we help make decisions on utilizing park dedication fees and constructing and building a park in El Segundo. So I don't know if we've heard of this, but I definitely want to follow up on it.
I can't remember. Is it Jim Kennedy?
He's
who came with
well
the redevelopment.
Yes.
Well, at that time, they had the meetings at our club. And he asked about that property, and I said, it's there for a park. So that's our goal, is our kids. And we even offered to maintain it. And nobody's done anything. So. And it's going to be hard to get across the creek. That's our problem.
We made a bridge.
Yeah, well, you can't. They won't let you.
The
Army Corps of Engineers.
Engineers
won't.
Yeah.
You can't.
How are we going to get over there? That's our problem.
The general plan has everything, and it's probably in the general plan, everything already laid out. They may not have in the general plan that as a park.
Mm-hmm. I don't think
if that redevelopment plan goes through, every single piece of property will already be designated what is allowed.
Okay, well, we're not on that. It's not our
plan. I'm just telling you, that's probably why they're not doing anything.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
The county says run the business of parks.
Right.
And that's what they keep telling our mind, so we just don't dare do it. So that's probably why we didn't.
But if you
I got 450 kids to clean up the park.
The issue is waiting for the issue.
Okay, we're ready now for public comment.
So, one thing. Does everybody know that we lost a business in town last week?
No.
Bradley Video closed. Bradley Center.
The new one.
Here's the new center. It closed. Yeah. Last Sunday,
they
went in, told one of the girls who works for me, they went in at 10 o'clock on Friday night and said, you have 48 hours, this is your notice, sell everything for $1, we'll close at 10 o'clock Sunday. They sold everything they could, 10 o'clock Sunday, locked the door, and you haven't seen them since.
Who said that?
The people who ran the video.
My God.
It was gone. Tax-based money, and they were doing very well. Their icons.
Well,
yeah, Mark
Andrews was the owner of that building, and I wonder, he would not have had anything to do with it, right?
Who's Scott?
Scott Andrews.
He doesn't own it anymore. He sold it. The guy, it was his partner who owned Bradley Video. Can't remember his first name.
Not Robert.
No, last name's Bradley, but I can't remember who.
And so he's the one that came in and closed him down.
Closed it down.
You don't know why. Yeah, because that corner, every time I've gone by there, there's been nothing but cars and more cars.
Right.
More cars.
Yeah.
That's my funny thing.
Yeah. Just all of a sudden, they have gone.
Well, that's too bad. Okay, are we ready to move on?
Mm-hmm.
Any more public comment? Yes,
Mr. Chairman. Two little things. A response to Tom's comment about a ditch. I called the photos one, that building behind it, that applied ditch.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So why can't you get a ditch?
Well, I tell you what, the reason I got what was given to me was there was a bridge built at the Salvation Army, which if you look is closed up, locked, because when it was built, it wasn't built handicapped coded, and it was at the time you had to do it, but the county let them build. They okayed their plan before they caught it. Now it's closed. You can't use it, which is just...
So couldn't you do it if you did a handicap one?
Well, I'm just trying to get a bridge we can drive a car across if we wanted to, or a tractor, or... I'm trying to get the Army Corps of Engineers to come and bring one of those bridges that pulled down, so we can get over there to clean it out, to look at it, see what we've got over there. There's some beautiful fruit trees back in there. There's gorgeous back in there. If you ever looked behind Rick and Spine Care, that lot that goes up, that's what that could look like. It's amazing. Totally amazing.
Yeah. That's about an acre and a half. Still, the more ultimate response to Thomas Cummins, PNC, publishing that poor guy. PNC doesn't punish poor guys, or edge guys for that matter.
Yeah. No, I said that. He came to me and he felt like he was being punished. Now, I'm just going on relaying
that. Of course, the gentleman that spoke up about against him, he passed it on. He left me there to pass it on to the committee. You can hear that from me as chairperson. One more thing, and then I'll shut up. A point of information, last night about 12, well, this morning, about 12:10, 12:15, one of my servants called me. I don't have to bother anybody. Lincoln, at 18 weeks. And he said, there's a pickup truck on fire. And naturally, I come to the car and rushed out there. And the fire department put them down, and I was thrown there, here, and there. What appears to be somebody left a piece of junker loaded with trash and debris. And the toast to call.
So that's why we need.
Anyway, guess what? There was a big old pickup truck. The whole thing was gone this morning.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm.
The arrangements they had are torn out right away.
Wow.
So tomorrow morning I'm going to go back to the very same spot with a broom and shovel and clean up the debris that's left from the fire. I thought it was okay that they cleaned it up.
Yeah.
Well, you know, one time the lot over at Castro Ranch Road, drove in there and there was this huge trailer totally filled with junk, like old mattresses, old furniture, old everything, tied with a rope, and left there. So, you know, we called the county and talked to them, and they said, no, it's not our lot, and then they looked it up, and they said, yeah, it's our lot, we're about to repair it. And they did.
Yeah.
Behind what used to be the Red Onion is the
I see that.
And they were storing huge bags of trash, and they've even got it stuck in the porch area, and it's on the ground. What can we do about that?
Go
that
way.
No, you
can't.
Yeah. Across the top of the hill in Richmond. And part of the annexation started there, came over the top of San Pablo Ridge, down to San Pablo Dam Road. It crossed Dam Road and took in Dan Big Burgers and the El Serrano Herald building on the corner of Dam Road and El Portal. The Mason's Lodge crossed El Portal and took in Rancho School and up the hill to annex the cemetery, the Hilltop Drive. Crossing San Pablo Dam Road at El Portal was very important for the annexation because that closed off the corridor San Pablo. And this annexation was probably 30 to 50 feet wide, swath. So the church that you see on San Pablo Dam Road at El Portal, part of that is in the city of Richmond and is banned and comes across Dam Road, across El Portal, and up to the cemetery. The El Serrano Herald building on the corner was actually left out of the annexation because the property owner complained that if he was annexed, he could no longer print the county legal notices. So they let him out of the annexation. Now, the annexation included this whole band of San Pablo Ridge from El Portal to Tri Lane. Actually, Richmond even cuts across Dam Road out where the entrance to Kennedy Grove is. Kennedy Grove. The annexation crossed San Pablo Dam Road in at least three places. The landowner of one of those parcels on Dam Road near Green Ridge was promised if he ever wanted to build on his property, the city would allow him 100 units per acre. Because they really needed his land, because his land touched the Antifa property.
And at this time, the school district had no say in which jurisdiction they went in. So once the city's annexation touched the end of the high school property, oh, then that definitely is now in the city of Richmond. Part of this area included the May Farm, and then this became the White Cliffs development in the 50s to 60s, and it stretched from about Santa Rita to Painted Pony. And then, of course, there have been many other annexations since then, and lots of different stories. I got interested in development because a neighbor walked a dog in a vacant lot on Meadowbrook Drive. There was a sign posted on the back of the lot that the property, which was set aside for a church, was to be rezoned for apartments. Then two connections of Value School residents formed the May Valley Association and worked together to fight the apartments. And you'll recognize some of these names, Bob and Shirley Sharp, Nadine and Ken Larson, Bob and Elmer Lauren, George and Pat Schmidt, and others. The joint efforts of residents on both sides of the line, Richmond and the county, helped form the Elsbrenny Valley Planning and Zoning Advisory Committee and the County Service Area Recreation 9 Committee with the help of the supervisor, Nancy Batten. Now we're going to skip to the 80s. And it just so happens you all know Steve Young. Yes, he's in the news again recently. But in the 80s, Steve Young was playing football for the World Football League in Los Angeles. One of the owners of the team was Bill Oldenburg. Now, Bill Oldenburg was a millionaire investor with an office in the Transamerica Pyramid in San Francisco. And every time they made $1 million on paper, they had a big gong and they banged it in the office. Well, it turns out Bill Oldenburg bought this property, about 360 acres, for less than $1 million. And that's roughly from Valley View to Tri Lane. His Parkland project called for building 1,200 Mediterranean-style homes along the ridgeline. He was able, somehow, to convince the Richmond City Council to approve the project. Then he had the project reassessed as though it was actually built. Then he sold the land to Utah Savings and Loan. That company went bankrupt. So, over time, this land has been sold or up for development several times. Projects range from 2,000 homes to 600 homes. After the owners got site information about the underground, the soil condition, the underground water, nothing has been built yet. Now, fast forward to August 10, 2005. Now we know that this old Parkland site, and this wiggly line here is the 400-foot elevation level. And that means that if you build above it, you must put in your own water supply system. AMMA does not put in water systems above the 400-foot level. So that anyone building up in this area, it would take a considerable amount of money just to get the property ready to be built on. Now we know this old Parkland site has serious problems in the poor soil, flies, and underground water. The present plan calls for, and this is correct, calls for 36 homes on 23 acres with 330-some acres kept in a conservation land bank for the Alameda whipsnake or other threatened or endangered species. Now, what that means is this is the most stable property. This is where he's going to be building, right around, curving around behind Canyon Oak. But what this means is that the whipsnake habitat in other parts of the county may be used for building. If the developer pays X dollars to this developer to save that acre over here, it's called a mitigation plan. I'm doing something bad here, but I'm paying back by saving an acre over there. The property is now undergoing an environmental impact report. The report will be made public sometime in October. There's a 45-day comment period, then a volume 2 is done, and another public hearing is held. Now, what I did, I didn't give you this first because I didn't want you to be mad. So this covers what I just talked about. 3, 4, 5. Eight. And I can pass one around. The purpose of my being here is that the staff wanted to find out what do you guys do. So that's where we're going with this.
Where is that brown area?
Okay. If you want to go through these, okay. This is called Canyon Oaks 2. And you should know that they keep changing names every time a new one comes in. Clark Road is this yellow-shaped project, and right at the moment, the EIR was so poorly done, the city of Richmond would not even accept it. It was just ripped up by so many people out here. Like, so there's nothing happening here yet. Doesn't mean it won't be. Forest Green, this is the old Johnson property. Doctor owns this private place at the top. Forest Green is down below. 120 homes on 80.6 acres. An EIR is being done. And most of this, as I said, is in the city of Richmond. Other things, this is Taylor Ranch. And Taylor Ranch, they could actually, the parcel is about 65 to 70 acres. They could actually develop 5 acres. And the reason they can only develop 5 acres is when the homes at the top of Valley View were put in. The owner of the Taylor Ranch traded off what he could have built, what could have been built on Taylor Ranch. They sold their development rights to the developer below. So the developer there at the top of the Valley View where the homes are could build homes closer together and more of them. And then in payback, those 60 acres on Taylor Ranch were then permanent, dedicated open space. And every once in a while, somebody, a new owner came in and said, oh, I'm going to build up here. And you know, he said, no, you can't. It's dedicated open space. So they have actually 5 acres that they could build up housing or something, but so far, nothing's come forward. Radisson Logan, those are the 40 homes being put in right now on Valley View at May Road. And then Pasture Ranch Road is here. The Dene project is right here. It was originally 150 acres and 250 homes. It is now down to only 33 acres, and they're talking 51 homes. But they're still right now getting some more soil samples because they suddenly found out, oh, even though we looked at this project 15 years ago, we're finding more flies and problems on site. So that's still undergoing review right now in the city of Richmond. Napa Ranch, it used to be about 120 acres. The older family members sold off 100 acres next door. So the Napa Ranch is now 20 acres, and there is a developer interested in it. He is talking about buying it, putting in 40 homes. And this is where we got a little shocked when he used the word six-pack. What? Six-pack? What are you talking about? Well, turns out in other parts of the county, maybe up around Sacramento, that what some of the developers have done is put in a cement pad, like a patio, and then have 6 homes gathered around this patio. So that what it does is cluster the homes together and then leave more open space. So right now, the developer is, you know, juggling around trying to figure out what kind of plan he wants. He's also looking at, should he try to annex to Richmond? Because then the fire response would be from Valley View and Amen Road and not from Appian Way, because firefighters can't agree that the closest station should respond. But the problem there, because he has talked to Richmond planners, Richmond is going to be doing a general plan update. So they're saying, well, we won't be ready to annex anything for 22 to 24 months until we get our general plan update. So he may just stay with the county. The other about 250 acres here now called Canyon, called Golden Oak is outside the urban limit line. And unless there is a change with LASCO, it cannot be developed as heavily as the other areas. Okay, let's speed up a little bit. Pinole has 40 homes on Appian in Duncan Canyon under review. No action, but you never know. San Pablo has planned 44 homes off Hillcrest Road above Rayleigh, and I had a neighbor call today with some latest information is that it's on hold right now, waiting for the developers to pay up front money. Because these days, when you do development, a lot of the different planning departments, they want the money up front to pay for the staff time. So the EIR has not come out on that yet. There's, with all that's going on, roughly 856 units, 8 to 10 car trips per day would be added, and that's roughly 6,800 to 8,500. And then using the school district's figures, there'd be about 599 students. If you're going through the packet, the next one is the district TMZ. Then I brought a few extra of these. There's only so this is a list of, let me just divide them up and see if I can get a few to every row. One of the things that planning zoning does is look at the development in the city and the county, and sometimes it's a real eye-opener to look and see what they are and where they are. And that's the next thing on your list, and there are some contact numbers there if you have any. Okay, now that you are looking through the packet, page part two starts with the pink sheet, or the orange sheet, if you want to call it that. This is the current listing of members of TNC. Three members are appointed by the Richmond May Valley Neighborhood Council. Three members are appointed by the Elgin Chamber of Commerce. Three members are appointed by the committee itself. And then there's one alternate also from each of those groups. So at the present time, we have nine members. And of those nine members, five are in the county, four live in Richmond. And we have openings. The chamber, we just had someone resign, Bonnie Scott. She just was overwhelmed. So the chamber has one full opening for a full membership, and anyone on the MAC could apply to that. We used to have three MAC members on the group. Then things changed, so now we have one. So there could be another MAC member on the group with the chamber. There's an opening for an alternate with the at-large group, and there's an opening for an alternate with May Valley. Page 8, you're looking at our bylaws, and I'd say our statement of what we do is probably section 4. There's a draft here of what we do, which is when a project comes in, we try and talk to the developer or the applicant, find out information, go out and talk to the neighbors, make sure they understand the process if they want to appear at the county or the city of Richmond review process. We often write letters just saying, these are our concerns. We'd like you to look at this and this to the county planner or the city planner. And then as the project moves forward, then we would take a vote. And most of our votes, I'd say, are the same. We have it's not very contentious. We usually agree with each other. But there's always a chance, and if somebody wants to go a separate way and send their own separate views, that's also a definite possibility. The
when you said we write a letter, who's we?
We are not labeled. Please don't speak up. Put up your hand, please. Go ahead and answer him, Ellen.
All right. That would be, when I say we are talking about the Outstanding Valley Planning and Zoning Committee. For those of you that have a packet, page 12, this is what something looks like when it comes to the hand. May I call on Dave Brennan, or do you want to call on him?
No, go ahead.
All right, Dave?
Yeah, you know, I appreciate you've been doing this a long time. My question is more in relationship to what the committee is put for. I mean, do you report to anybody? Do you report to the city council? Do you report to the county? Do you report to the mayor? What is the, you know, how is the
committee comprised?
Okay. Maybe we're going to address that later on, but that's sort of my concern. I want to hear that to understand more how this all works.
Okay. All right. In this last, usually I come to the monthly meetings of the MAP and go over the agenda with them. Ruby is also vice chair on our committee, so she knows what we're doing. We are an advisory group, so we are not constrained so much by the Brown Act, so we have a little more leeway in what we do. But, well, for example, last week I went to City of Richmond to their Planning Commission meeting, because I wanted to have an item held over because we had not had a chance to discuss it. So sometimes we will go to meetings at the city or at the county in Martinez. We have a good working relationship with county staff, so that if we want to find out, I got a call from Michonne Cross, who's the county planner, and she was saying that one of the projects we were concerned about is off Renfrew Court. There's one 10 home subdivision on Orion Court, which is off Renfrew, but then right next to that entrance is going to be a second entrance to another 10 home subdivision. And so we have been talking with the county, you know, we're really concerned about this traffic in and out, a cul-de-sac and a cul-de-sac off a cul-de-sac. You know.
Well, let me ask you, how does one become a member of the TNC? How does that work?
You can contact the Elk Friendly Chamber. You can contact me. I happen to be president of the May Valley Neighborhood Council. Or you could come to one of our meetings and just express that. Because, as I said, we do have.
You wouldn't go to the MAP to become a member of the community.
No, we are completely
separate.
And that's part of the reason why I'm here, because as new people are elected to the MAP, they don't necessarily always know where are you and why aren't you under us, because we're the elected body. But the reason we're not under the MAP is because we crossed the line. We've got Richmond residents and county residents. So we have a standing when we go to Richmond that we represent Richmond area. We have a standing when we go to the county because we represent the people in the county.
Just a minute, Eleanor.
Yes.
Let me say something first.
Yes.
When the MAC was originally put into being by Supervisor Jim Rogers, it was decided that the existing committees in the valley would not go under that. That included planning and zoning, and that included the R9. Those two committees were already set up, operating, and doing a good job before the MAP ever came into being. So the first people on the MAP decided that they would not be included in that. Yes, this lady's had her hand up.
What you just said kind of changed what I was going to say, because I have been appointed to the R9 by the supervisor, so I know that I'm appointed to represent those people and I can be recalled, that kind of thing. And I'm not concerned about the job you're doing or planning and zoning, but I'm trying to look at it from my point of view as somebody who lives here and is concerned about development is, I want some advocacy. I mean, I'm feeling like Richmond is continuing to annex, and
planning and zoning has done a good job of interfacing with developers and keeping track of where things are going. But I'm feeling a missing piece in terms of a mission statement, a vision that for how we want our community to be, and that there would be a body that would look out for that and that would be accountable to the people who live here. And I guess I just don't know where is that? Do we need another committee that's accountable to the MAC that will do that? Or is this something, is planning and zoning the way it works here? Is that similar to the way it works in other top places? I thought planning and zoning needed to be kind of responsive to the community. And to me, it seems like the interests of Richmond and the interests of Elsa Bryant aren't always the same. Although the valley, because we are in this watershed together and the bioregion and all of that, we have some joint interest. But the city of Richmond doesn't have the same interest as the residents of the valley, is my guess.
That's correct.
So I guess I don't really have a specific question. I'm just feeling a vacuum of advocacy to hold the line, to keep Elsa Sobrani intact and to stop this runaway development.
Well, I think we do that because we will go to Richmond and tell them we don't like the way they're doing things, they should change things, they file appeals. Because of our interest, well, this led to another group, the Elsa Sobrani Valley Legal Defense Fund, which has filed 7 lawsuits against the city of Richmond. One was declared moot, one was settled out of court, 3 we won, and 1 we lost on appeal. So there is this advocacy group, and part of what we do is go out and knock on doors and make sure that if there's, so often happens, there's a development on one side in Richmond, we want to be sure the neighbors know what's going on and that they have a right to go down and express their opinion, talk to the planner, ask questions, that kind of thing. And so that's what we try to do when we see sinkhole happens up on Sobrani Avenue. My deacon was good enough to take that over, and that sinkhole has been there since January. And I mean, this is a hole 10 feet wide and maybe 10 feet to 15 feet deep in these people's driveway. And they didn't know what to do. And they sent me a letter. I got in contact with Supervisor Joy in the county. Then Mike accepted that as a job. And he went out to their house and he said that many times. And it's not settled, but there's a lot more information out that they know right now that they didn't before.
Okay, Eleanor, Marilyn had a question.
Well, it's not really a question. Number one, the MACs, other MACs in Contra Costa County are who they do the planning and zoning.
Right.
Why do you think that you can do a better job? And you've been on it for 30 years and some of the same people. Why can you do a better job? Well, it says in 1976.
Right.
1975, Eleanor Loyne, and Ruby has been on it. So it's the same people that have been doing it for this many years, and we gradually, Richmond has gradually taken over Elsa Bryant. But why don't you think it, an elected person should be running, that it should be completely under the MAC as it is in other areas?
Well,
that's the most important thing that's done here in Elsa Bryant.
One, because we represent both cities and county. And when the group started off, the chamber had a group that looked at planning. The May Valley Association of Richmond had a group that looked at planning. And we would go to the city or the county, and the comments were pretty much the same from either body. Well, you represent the chamber and the businesses, and you represent the homeowners, but you don't agree. Oh, well then, we don't really have to listen. We can make our own decision because you don't have a consensus. So by having the community work together, we have a consensus of what we want to see happen. We want people to know what's going on. We don't want Michigan to come out and just take things over and say we're going to put 100 homes in there or apartments or whatever. We don't want the county to ignore us.
ignore the residents of El Cabrini and not put in sidewalks where they're needed and, you know, things like that. And because we are, you guys meet once a month for 3 hours. We meet once a month for 3 hours. But then when those people leave that meeting, they are committed to probably at least 6 more hours going out and visiting sites, knocking on doors. I know Mike went out and posted things in the neighborhood. One of the, page 20, I think it is. This is a letter that I wrote to neighbors on Pine Hill Drive, because right next to them there's going to be a lot split. And so each of the neighbors got a description from me about what was going on, who they could call the county and find out what was happening. And that's a very important part of this, because sometimes the neighbors get left out by accident or on purpose, who knows. There have been annexations where Richmond is going to take in the Canyon Oaks and then the county property next door. And I saw it in the legal notice, talked to some of the neighbors. They didn't know anything about it. And they would have been pulled into that annexation in Richmond if we hadn't gone out, talked to them, and then they had a chance to go to LAFCO and say, we don't want to go to Richmond. Why are you making us do that? And so LAFCO stepped off and, you know, let them out and said, okay, we'll just annex this one part.
Okay, we have this round.
Just a quick comment on this. I have to be home by 8 o'clock, and so in a few nights, I get to go home early. My name is Dave Brown. I grew up here in El Cabrante. My family runs Canyon Kool-Aid. We're right on the corner from here. I'm on the school board in West Hunter County, and until last year, did not get very active in El Cabrante politics. I kept abreast of it. I wanted to downtown revitalize, you know, just and also protect the boundaries of El Cabrante. And the more I learn, the more and more I'm upset about what's happened. But recently, because members on the map have really get, you know, have gotten me engaged in this, I'm really concerned. I don't want to make the olive the bathwater necessarily, because I do know that Eleanor and others and the PNP have done some great work, not recently, not only recently, but in the past. I firmly believe in democracy, and I firmly believe that an elected body like the MAC has to have committees report to it formally, just like you would in a city. I would like to see the MAC operate more like the city council, even though I know we're not a city, but say, hey, we're in charge of our boundaries, and we're going to do whatever it takes to represent the will and the needs of the people here. The R9, the PNC should be a subcommittee to the MAC. Now, with the PNC, and this is why I'm saying not throwing the baby out with the bathwater, I think it might be possible, because you talk about the connection between Richmond and El Cabrante, the whole El Cabrante Valley, that we could have a majority of members appointed by the MAC and a couple of members that might come from the May Valley Neighborhood Association and even a couple from the chamber. But I honestly believe it needs to be a subcommittee of the MAC. A majority has to be appointed by this elected body, because then we can go and say, hey, you guys aren't doing your job, and we can re-elect you or unelect you. Right now, there's nothing like that going on, and I think that's wrong. And I'm going to come back to every meeting if I have to advocate for really the MAC taking more leadership and having these committees be accountable to our elected bodies. So that's the only thing I'd say.
Questions back here, but all right, go ahead, ma'am.
Okay, one, I just want to say what we're doing now is trying to get a meeting set up with members of the school board, the teachers, the parents. The group sat here because Deanna is a mess. People need to step in and help. So we talked to Greg Price, we talked to Karen Benton, talked to Supervisor Joya, and we would like really your help and support with that. Now, one of the things, the MAC has done a lot for the community, but their commitment usually ends right when this meeting ends. We have offered people at the MAC to come and be guest members just so they can find out how we operate. The chamber pays us $200 a year for our expenses. May Valley pays us $200 a year for our members, for our mailing costs and all. Telephone, a lot of costs people just take on themselves. I don't know that Supervisor Joya would be willing to pay extra money for the MAC to reproduce all the paperwork. I don't know that he would be willing. I have heard Karen say that the MAC should only meet once a month. Well, meeting once a month is no way going to cover the the extensive projects that are going on. We get roughly 6 new projects a month. We follow along at least 40 of them because it can take a month to a year before some project is finally either decided on or dropped or moving ahead. So,
Eleanor, wait a minute. The lady back here had a question. Wait a minute. Before, let me just make a comment before you leave. One thing I think that a lot of people don't understand is if you own property or you buy a property in El Sobrante and you want to build something, as long as you're building within the zoning guidelines, you can build. If a developer comes out here and he wants to build 36 homes, he wants to build 40 homes, he wants to build 50 homes, if he's got the property, he owns it, he can build it. The one thing that planning and zoning has done that I don't think people give them credit for is they go out and they talk to the developer. They try to get them to cut down the number of houses. They try to make them look at the schools, how many of the kids are going to move in here, what schools are they going to go through, how many sidewalks are you going to put in, what are you going to do about the traffic on the dam road, and all those things are taken into consideration. So that actually it may look like the builders are taking over, and that's the feeling I have too. But there's nothing can be done about it as long as they buy the property, they own it, and they build within the zoning regulations. So that's all I want to say. I'm sorry, this lady was first.
Okay, I would say that I first vote on him to say I really supported the remarks by Dave. Mm-hmm. I have to say, we've kind of recently got involved over the Four Screens stuff, mm-hmm. So we're kind of new to learning how our town works and stuff, and then talk to a lot of people during that petition drive, and people would always ask, who do you contact, and where's the city council, and it's always been kind of a mystery in how to find out who represents us. And then you were informative, and it sounds like what you just said, all that is valuable service, I'm sure, all the knowledge and all the stuff. But it does strike me, it was odd, like the Four Screens thing, we learned that you would accompany the developer to county planner to suggest about the Young property, and so it seems like a gray area where...
I didn't accompany the developer. I had suggested it to him because the committee felt it was a safer access than off Park Road
It just seems like a lot of power in an organization that isn't accountable in some way. It just seems like it makes sense to have a map be like a city council where...
And the map could always take up anything that they choose and write up a report, send it in to the county, say we disagree with this, we want these conditions added. That's something, but they haven't been willing to do that. They could have. Okay. They could have taken on the sinkhole up on Granny Island, which I thought somebody would.
Wait a minute. We are going to be working on that later. I think we have some questions over here.
Well, you made a statement that anybody who owns piece of property can build anything they want to.
As long as it's within the zoning regulations.
Okay. I'd like to ask Eleanor, why is the P&Z punishing this poor guy across the street from us up here to build that auto repair shop? I feel he's being punished. He comes over and talks to me every once in a while.
All right, because...
I mean, I'm just asking. I like, he's crying to me.
Our concern with an auto repair shop, it's right next to an apartment building, and those windows face on that property where that auto repair shop is going to be. So there's going to be noise, smells, lights that are going to bother those people. On the other side are homes. Those homes, again, are going to be impacted by all the same things, the smells, the lights, traffic in and out. And at the same time, if you look just at Appian Way, and look at the number of homes, 9 unit townhouses on Appian, 16 apartments, Appian, 10 townhouses, Appian, 22 homes, Appian Way, 31 homes, Appian Way. Appian Way is changing, and it is changing to homes, apartments, townhouses, duets, and then we're going to put a new auto shop there. Now, according to the rules, he can do that, and the county could allow that. And so we're at a position where we can say we don't agree. And with this, again, we, if this goes in, we need at least these key conditions, such as hours of operation and some of these closed down, things like that. But it's going to have a big impact on the existing neighbors as well as all these new homes that are going in there.
Would you rather see apartments there? Is that what you're saying, or houses? I'm not just asking.
That's my personal opinion, yes.
Okay.
You cannot, the county is still the final person, the final people that decide, and you can pay money for an appeal, but that's where the final decision is.
Okay. We need to call something here. We are running out of time for one thing.
Yeah.
I will take three more questions. Marilyn has one. The gentleman back here has one. Barbara has one. All right, we'll take four. Dawn.
And then we're
going
to have to move on. Could I have about 3 to 5 minutes to wrap up?
All right, why don't you wrap up, and then we'll have Marilyn, and then we've got the gentleman back there, and then we have Barbara, and then Dawn. All right?
I've had my hand up for a really long time.
All right, fine. Yeah, we really have to move on. We're running out of time.
Okay, if you're looking through this pamphlet, what I have on pages 17, 18, and 19, this is just to show you, I'm not the one that does all the writing. The members in TNC, if they take a project, we talk about it, we talk to each other, and then here are some letters that have been written to the county and about our concerns for various projects. And then the minutes from July 14th. And then the thing I wanted to call to your attention, we have a meeting tomorrow night here. We start at 6 o'clock and 8 p.m. or longer. And the items on the agenda, rezone property, request to subdivide a parcel into 5 lots, 1 existing home, 4 new homes at 4996 San Pablo Dam Road. Rezone property at 4600 San Pablo Dam Road for multi-family high density. This is going to be moved, I just got a call today, to our September meeting, and they are planning to take out an existing single family home so that they can have more room to put in apartments if they get the rezoning. Canyon Oaks, that's the one on Dam Road right around Canyon Oaks, number one. Review the plans for 36 homes. Then Knappen Ranch, Tony Kislinky, that has changed. He called. He's going to be there at 6 o'clock instead of 7:25 because he has to go to the airport. Property on Valley View at Sunset Drive, we got a call to put that off to September. And then also Singular Wireless. They're going to put antennas on top of the Holy's Chiropractic building at 435 Valley View Road. The person in charge in Sockoville is on vacation this week, so she asked for it to be put off. And then it turned out that then Singular Wireless is also going to put in a fake tree, or they want to anyway, on the Taylor Ranch with antennas. So they'll be talking about that in September. Then Singular also wants to upgrade their antennas on the Edmund tank on Coach at the top of Coach Drive in Carriage Hills North. So we'll be talking about those three Singular antennas coming up in September. So this is what we do. It takes a lot of time and effort and money, and it also allows us to be more flexible. So I have no problem with having more, at least two. You were told to have at least three members of the MAC on our group. I have no problems with that at all. And if, like I said, if the MAC wanted to take on some particular projects in El Sobrante that were really hot-button items for them, we could help. We could support them, but we would be separate because we don't want to give up the connections to Richmond because we have a good working relationship with the staff there. We know how Richmond operates. We can explain to people in the county or Richmond residents out here, this is who you should contact. And we're not, we don't have a set agenda. It's each thing by itself, so we can do the best and keep El Cabrini as much ours as we want to.
Thank you, Eleanor. Mr. Allen.
Okay, first of all, I'd like to say that I've not heard anything here tonight that has changed my mind. I agree with Dave Brown that the P&Z should be, as it is under other MACs, it should be done by the MAC. You're not a recognized advisory body, which I know. Why is that? Why are you not a recognized advisory body?
Well, we didn't mean by that. We get mail directly from the county sent to planning and zoning. They call us and ask us for our comments so they can include them in the staff reports at the City of Richmond and at the county.
Well, I'm sure they do, but you're not like we are a recognized advisory body.
So
all right, let's move on. There's gentlemen out here.
Yeah, I know Combs. I have property right behind the Midway Muffler Shop. And I wrote a letter to the county in opposition to the automotive repair. My feeling is that we have five automotive repair shops within a half a mile distance. We don't need six. And four out of the five are junky operations. Old cars, old trash. Mm-hmm. And we just do not need another automotive.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, now, Barbara.
I feel that the El Cabrini MAC hasn't been well known. Certainly the sinkhole problem should have come directly to us, and we should have handled it. The fact that it went directly to another body it is because they're aware of that body. And I guess they weren't aware that they should bring that kind of a problem directly to us. As soon as we were notified of that, I know I personally went out and talked to the woman, and it had been all the way down the line by the time we've even gotten involved in it. And I'd like to see that change. I think we need to be more reactive.
Thank you, Barbara.
Yeah, well, I just appreciated the comments from everybody. I do feel like I really appreciate the work of C&Z. I know that the members do an incredible job, and I know that they work really hard, and I don't think that that's the issue. I think the issue that I've heard is about accountability and leadership. And I do feel, and I think I've heard from council members that maybe there haven't in the past been issues around how much time people want to commit, but I think we have a committed body, and I think we have people who want to provide leadership to our community and who really want to see things move forward and who want to see a vibrant, wonderful El Cabrante. And I'm concerned when I hear about all the projects being planned, and I hear that developers can build, I know developers can build however things are zoned, and we've been waiting for 2 years for an amendment to our general plan that covers, you know, Appian Way and San Pablo Dam Road, and now we have all these single-family homes proposed for Appian Way, which is one of the corridors that was discussed about being, you know, single-family homes, apartments, that was talked about for becoming, you know, a nice area for walking, for biking, for business. And so I feel like we really do need to be proactive. And I was frustrated that we didn't get a chance to have on our agenda tonight a chance to talk about that draft EIR and to have a little bit of an opportunity for the MAC to talk about those proposed changes, because while I just feel like we keep waiting, and I don't want to be waiting, I think we really need to be proactive. And along those lines, Erica and myself, we have done a lot of exploring around what do general plans of other communities look like. We've talked to a lot of people who've recently redone their general plans. There's a lot of new stuff happening out there in the world of general plans. And we had community meetings for 6 years that where residents had an opportunity to meet and to share what they wanted. And from my meetings with the county, it wasn't clear to me that what they are going to be handing to us, perhaps next month, necessarily reflected a lot of the concerns and the issues that residents have proposed. So we've written a vision, and we feel like it would be important to the MAC. We've had it on our agenda, but we haven't had a chance to discuss it fully for months. But we feel like the MAC should adopt a vision for El Cabrante. It should be something that the residents, an echo of what we've heard from residents over the past number of years with town hall meetings, with charrettes, with all kinds of things. There are written reports, there are documents. So we tried to echo what we've heard and put it into writing, and I hope it can go on the agenda next month for the MAC to have a chance to really discuss it and, you know, to adopt it as soon as we can and to put it forward to the county and say, look, this is what we want here, and we want to be sure that what you're doing is in tandem with what we are interested in. So I'm going to pass these out. I have 30 copies. I'm not sure I have enough for everybody in the audience.
Point of order, Chairman. When I tried to talk, you cut me off. She's been talking now for 5 minutes. Because you didn't like what I said, obviously.
No. Okay, well, I think she's going to...
I hope so.
Oh, no, I said, I'm sorry, Lisa. I said that would be the end of it. All right, go ahead.
Well, I wanted to thank Ellen for the presentation because, as one of the recently elected class members, it has been something that I've been trying to get a little more clarity on. And as a person with a bit of a planning background and who was a general contractor building my own house in El Cabane, I know how much work it is. I know how much work it is to go to the county, to get your permit, your application. It's an enormous amount of time. I'm noticing in this discussion a bit of a us, them, the MAC, the P&Z. And it's confusing to me. I mean, I don't really know what the history is. I've only been here for about 5 years as a resident. But I'm really hoping that we can move away from that because what I hear are some really important issues. I mean, I hear that we all care very much about maintaining certain elements that we all have moved here for and chosen to stay here for. I'm hearing community folks voice concerns about accountability. I'm hearing from some MAC members currently an interest in becoming more proactive. So I think if we hold those larger concerns and goals, which I think are good ones and virtuous ones and important ones, I would really hope that we can work together, the Chamber, the May Valley Association, and the MAC, to actually just have a conversation about how do we together, right? I'm not sure what form or structure it may take, but best meet the needs of the Valley, of Richmond, of El Cervante, of the community. Because times are changing. You know, Appian is not only the one thing that's changing. The community has changed. I mean, the folks from La Comina, I know, have been very, very active and responsive to things that are happening in their neighborhood. So I think it's important that we reflect what is current. And I think what Barbara said, we're not sure, you know, in the past maybe the MAC hasn't been very proactive, but we are a new group. There are new folks here today. So I would like to actually set up a meeting and maybe meet with Eleanor and Chamber, I guess it would be Scott Tufnell from the Chamber, to actually discuss, maybe Supervisor Joya too, I don't know. Just talk about, you know, there are some concerns that have been raised and how do we move together as a community in partnership.
Thank you, Erica. We have to move on.
Yeah,
thank you very much, Eleanor. I appreciate your presentation and we will.
So you can see what a packet looks like. This is all the mail. 32, since I put the packet together.
All right, we really have to move on.
Okay,
so, in response to your statement, Erica, why don't you give us, if you can set up a meeting with the Secretary's Office of Chamber of Commerce and...
This is a PIA. This is not an action item. So you're having to
do
an action. You didn't let
actually,
me do it
last time. All right, let's move on then.
Thank you.
Let's skip that for now.
Thank you.
Okay, let's move on to our discussion item. And so the I believe our El Cabane Municipal Advisory Council bylaws are ready for the board to for the supervisor's approval.
Question on this item before you move on, there was a missing board resolution. Did you get that? A missing board resolution? For three times I've been trying to get it. Did you get that? That was in, that had to go into the bylaws to be sent to the board. It was a board resolution for one of the sections.
It was for one where the business members were deleted.
Oh, right.
Did you get that? Well, you can't really send it without that, because that rescinds a whole section. So you need to have the board resolution number in there.
Okay, well, let me talk to Supervisor Joe.
Okay, then.
I would like to get this be done.
Because I'd like to get the board resolution. I've asked for it and haven't gotten it.
Okay. Well, let me see if we can get that together and then get into the supervisor. Okay, now, Mike, you wanted to. Did you talk to the people with the sinkhole?
Yes.
And are they here tonight?
No, they're not.
Okay.
She didn't want to load up her husband's wheelchair and all that to get out. They're pretty worn out from this whole thing. He had a heart attack a couple months ago, and it just pulled a limb out of their front yard. I got a lot of the information. I got their survey if you guys want to see that.
Okay, well, what my whole question is there anything that we can do now to help them? Is there any way that the MAC can help them?
No, it's already, the engineer condemned the pipeline, the county decision from there. They've drawn a new, if you remember, a 3-foot pipe in there. They're trying to redo the plan. They're going to put a smaller pipe in there now, and they're going ahead with the project. They just got permits today.
Oh,
great. And I want to check. Got permits this week, and that's all she told me, basically. The survey was not required. Can I go through this one real quick?
Yeah.
You know, the engineer condemned it. And then the drain. So then they had to go in to get a new drain, and then the county says, well, we want an easement for that. Okay, well, we'll get the survey, and we'll give you guys an easement so you can clean the drain. That's what they thought they were going. Well, the county decided, oh, no, we don't want an easement. We don't want, you guys don't have to do the survey after they've already paid for it. And so the county gave them back their money for their permit. Because they messed up so bad, and they know they did. This whole thing is with that engineer coming out of, he lives up here on the hill somewhere, coming up and condemning their drain. And there's something real fishy about that drain, because like you said, it's 15 feet down, comes across the property, and it drops down 10 feet straight down. And that's where it blew out at the bottom. You know, if you got water pressure going down 10 feet, it's determined again. So that puts that pipe 15 feet down. What homeowners would do that? I don't know very many homeowners that would put a drain underneath, you know, because that's what most Elsinoreans did. Put their own drain to get into their driveways, across to their property. But most of them are, you know, 2 feet down. Well, this one's 5, 10, 15 feet down. It's, and nobody can find any paperwork on it.
Yes, I had a question. They paid $4,000 for that survey that now the county is saying they don't need or didn't need. Did they refund that $4,000 also?
No, that survey company took the money.
Well, I think something has to go to the county that says when you tell a property owner that he has to spend $40,000 or $4,000 for a survey, that should be in writing to that property owner. I mean, that should be a policy that the county has. That engineer is the one that understood from the county, supposedly, that they had to spend the $4,000. So I think that's a huge error right there. The other thing that I really wonder about is why even, I know that the water running into a property, supposedly, and going out is the responsibility of the property owner. But when it comes off from a hill that is servicing 40 or 50 homes, there has to be some kind of a statue out there that says the county is because they're responsible for the other part of it. Then I don't quite understand, you know, there's got to be something we can research is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
must be.
I was trying all that because it just doesn't sound right to me. Yeah. Three houses up, the people have such terrible drainage problems. They have concrete their whole backyards in and put in their own drain pipes. Three houses up. The fireman, Gary's his name,
yeah.
And then come back this way, I think it's Kathy and somebody or something. I mean, they've been flooded out all the time. Anytime there's a project in the area, they show up because they're going to get more water.
So I don't think that we should just, I think we've got to write to the county and say, you know, this is a problem that we hear what you're saying, but it's picking up all the water from 40, 50 homes up the hill or more. And, you know, you cannot just leave it that way.
Marilyn. I went and talked to these people, and they're so frustrated they're moving. They have made definite plans to move. They are leaving, and they said that because of the county telling them, misspeaking and telling them they had to have a survey for their property, that two old buildings had been there over 50 years, they found out they were over just a few feet onto the property next door. So now, if they didn't have all this happening, the county hadn't literally screwed them over, they would still be living there. They love their house. They have no choice but to leave now. They're selling out. I mean, this is, and they did not know. They had no idea what the El Sobrany Mass was. When I came there the other day, they'd never heard of the El Sobrany Mass. So that's a real problem with outreach, I tell you.
Okay, I think what we're talking about now, and Barbara, you suggested to write a letter to the county?
Yes, and I think it should be that anything requiring an expense of a property owner should be in writing to that property owner and not a verbal conversation.
Okay, and what kind of responsibility if it turns out it's not necessary?
Well, and if it's not necessary, I think that... Well, if it's put in writing, first of all, it will correct the problem in the future. But currently, the problem is that the drainage coming down there is coming from 40, 50 or more homes, and it can't be the responsibility of just that one property owner, the way I see it.
Then they'll come back and say, collect and convey.
Well, yeah, no, I understand what you're saying, but common sense tells me that that doesn't work.
Two people tore my car out. I love that old couple, and I spent a lot of time with them. We went over there to talk to them so we could see what we could do and look at their survey.
Okay, what would you...
It scares me up. I'd like to find an engineer that can do that pipeline.
Yeah. What do you suggest we do? What do you think we can do, Mike? The MAC do?
Something needs to be done about the drainage in that area, definitely. And it can't be on the property owners down below to pick up that tab. That's costing those people $75,000. You start out at $100,000.
And it could cost more. They don't know what they're going to find.
They are going to rebuild the drain. That's what they told me. They're going to do it, and then they're going to sell out. So they are taking care of it. But if they didn't have to do that, they wouldn't be leaving. So they are going to take care of it. And they shouldn't have to be that way, but, you know, that's the county.
If they rebuild the drain, will that take care of the problem then?
That's what they're doing. That's what they're in the process of doing. They got the permit now.
Part of the problem. Okay. Mr. Harvey first, and then please.
I really think someone's got to talk to the jokers are there and coming there that public works. Because I have some sort of silly recollection that each property owner is responsible for his water on this property. And if this happens to shift over to somebody else, then that somebody else can look to him. Now, from what I hear is correct, we have 30 or 40 property owners, and all their stuff is coming down on me. I'm going to be pretty unhappy. And I think the county ought to get somebody out there and explain. And I'm sure there's a code for that.
Thank you. Well, and Barbara's right about, you know, that the county should do something about that. But there's a classic example also that the right hand doesn't know what the left hand in the county is doing, because you go out there and you apply for a permit for something or you need to do some work for something. You've got one person telling you one thing that's a requirement, and you go back a month later, and if